The Equest Podcast, Funds Industry Conversations.
Demystify funds regulation and jargon with the Equest Academy. Tailored funds industry training programs to help you march up the learning curve.
Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to the Equest Podcast. This is the second part in our special series of podcasts for newly authorized fund manager companies called First 18. Before that, I am delighted to announce some very exciting news from the world of Equest. We are going to be holding our first ever Funds Masterclass by Equest on Friday, the 28th of June, 2019, in the brand new business school in Trinity College. I think it'll be the very first event to be held in that new venue. The Funds Masterclass is designed as a one day of training, CPD points, on a range of issues that are very current and topical in the funds industry. But it's not a conference in the sense of chatting about future possible developments necessarily. It's pretty much getting down to the ins and outs of the rules and looking at it from quite a technical legal compliance perspective. On the agenda, which is pretty packed, we've got things like outsourcing, CP86 and central bank inspections and how you might prepare for them. And we've also got a session on depositories where we look at things like segregation of assets and record keeping requirements. So check out the news section of the Equest.ie website for full details on the agenda and, very importantly, information on how you can get your tickets before they're all snapped up. The other exciting piece of news from the world of Equest is that in the summer of 2019, we will be publishing a very special report called First 18, From Survive to Thrive. It's a roadmap for newly authorised fund management companies to guide them through the key challenges that they're likely to face in their first 18 months of authorisation. The report will feature contributions from industry experts across a number of disciplines in the funds industry, and we're very excited to publish that later this year. If you'd like to be one of the first to get your hands on a free copy of First 18, check out Equest.ie, and in the news section there you will be able to register your interest, so we will send you on a copy the moment it becomes available later in the summer of 2019. Okay, that's all the housekeeping done. Now let's crack on with the podcast.
The Equest Podcast, Funds Industry Conversations.
Hello, welcome to episode 2 in this special series of Equest Podcasts to coincide with the launch of our special report, First 18, From Survive to Thrive. For this episode, our focus is on the key challenge of recruitment for newly authorised fund management companies. And with that topic in mind, I'm delighted to be joined by Jennifer Cahill of Savvy Recruitment Consultants. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Great. Listen, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So I run and set up Savvy Recruitment Consultants with Therese Cadell back in 2017. So I have about 8 years experience this year in financial recruitment. I do a huge amount within the funds industry, a management company, subsector within that, if you like, fund admin companies across the whole range. So we do have a specialism within that particular market.
So you're right at the coalface then when it comes to fund management companies. Because as we've gone through and worked with contributors for preparing First 18, probably the first challenge we see everybody mention pretty much is around recruitment. So at the coalface, what's it like for these firms at recruiting?
It is difficult. I think initially the difficulty is that clients come, particularly if they're new to Ireland and they haven't had an operation here in Ireland before, which is the vast majority. They come with preconceived notions of what's available in the market, what the market is going to be like, what they can get, and they draw up a job description without ever talking to anybody in the market about what's available based on what they need.
So their assumptions are that it's going to be maybe a bit more...
It's just going to be a mini London. What I mean? It's London, but it's obviously a lot smaller scale, but what we hire in London for this job, there's bound to be people in Dublin. And the assumption was any Irish person in London who worked in anything related to capital markets, investment management or fund management would run home if they got a sniff of a job in fund management in Dublin. And that just wasn't the case.
So what are you seeing in practice then?
In practice, the movement, so first of all, the exodus out of London of Irish people, there is a flow of that, but it's not like a cascade of candidates. So you're back to the domestic market. There is a lot of domestic movement in the market outside of Brexit and fund management entrance. So just generally in the market, which is positive because then you have people moving on, there's less nervousness about moving. So that creates a good market, you know, that people are at least open to movement and there is activity. This year, I think, is much more positive time to recruit than last year. Last year was frenzied. Last year, everybody was in the same time, Q1, Q2, it was frenzied. Everybody wanted the same thing. Central bank were feeding the same thing. Everybody was going, I need this. I need a head of compliance, a head of risk. They all need to look the same. Every spec looked the same. They were all looking for the same thing. And it was just frenzied. And I think from a candidate perspective, they were just seeing too much. It was just overload. And they got to the point where going, I'm just going to put the job search on hold because I don't actually know, there's too much coming at me. Mm. And from a client perspective, they were getting so frustrated because they couldn't get people to stick. Because they were struggling to, how do I sort of stand out from the crowd of all these other fund management companies that are coming into Dublin? So they struggled with that bit. So the market now today is not as active as it was this time last year. And I actually think that's a positive for both candidates and clients because it's more normal market. It's active, it is busy, but it's not frenzied. And I think in that environment, everybody thinks a bit clearer.
And so when firms are coming to the market and drawing up job specs, are they able to do a wish list and get all that they want, or where are they compromising?
No, it's never. So a job description that somebody will draw up is always a wish list. If you get 50% of that in any job, in any industry, in financial service, and this isn't just unique to the fund management, the ManCos, the Brexit entrance, this is across the board. It's a wish list. It always is a wish list. My advice to people is to sit down with a recruitment agency, a specialist in your area, and before you even draw up a job description, talk to them. Talk to them about what it is you need, your discussions with the central bank. What if they told you is the absolute must-haves? And then what are the nice-to-haves? What would you like to have, but it's not absolutely compulsory? And then cultural fit. What kind of person would fit your organisation? What are the attributes of the person that you're looking for? And work with your recruitment advisor to develop the picture of what that person is that you're looking to hire. And take their advice in terms of where those candidates might be currently, you know, and what they're looking for in the market, because it just makes it easier rather than you going, bullying ahead as the client, going, this is what I'm looking for. It has to look like this. You end up going into a process, you rush into it with this preconceived idea that doesn't bear any association with the realistic market out there. You look for the perfect, you don't find the perfect. As the client, you get frustrated. As candidates, you go, oh God, these guys, do they know what they're looking for? They seem unrealistic. You put people off in the initial phase. And what happens is ultimately those initial processes break down. The client not seeing, then they come and they go, right, okay, let's have a proper conversation.
And so in what pool then are the firms fishing? Is it only from the existing fund management and fund service provider industry that they are looking to recruit from, or are firms taking a bit of a broader view and maybe looking at other financial services firms, maybe even insurance and banking, rather than necessarily just looking at the fund sector?
The preference is definitely within, it's my bugbear with the Irish market that we want to hire somebody who's doing exactly the same job, ideally with a direct competitor currently. And that's what everybody wants when they come to the market. It's the most risk averse, as they would see it, strategy. Problem in Ireland is so small. So ideally you're looking for somebody out of another fund management company, another management company. You know, if it's a PCF role, they're looking for somebody who's already PCF approved, ideally doing a similar job, whether it's operational risk or compliance. They're a little bit more hesitant, I think, because of the fear of whether they'll get that person approved for the central bank if they're not currently doing that exact job right now. So the appetite, I think it's maybe more a fear factor on behalf of the client rather than maybe their, you know, sort of narrow-minded view of who could do the job. It's more they constantly come back to going, yeah, but I'll consider that, but will the central bank give us approval for that person? And we don't want to waste 2 months in a recruitment process and identify somebody that we really like if ultimately, obviously, the CBI are not going to approve that person.
They're not going to get through.
So I understand that. And I think there's obviously, I think that's the challenge, because there isn't, the central bank are strict, but they're not necessarily given a huge amount of guidance on what they would consider, that there's a lot of grey there that clients need to figure out. And obviously, we're there to give them that advice in terms of what we've seen other companies achieve in terms of PCF approval, in terms of types of and they do get comfort from that. So if we can sit in front of them and go, look, I know what you think you have to hire to get CBI approval, but here's what a few of your other competitors have hired so far that has achieved PCF approval, then they do take comfort from that.
That's valuable insight. And of course, the fitness and probity regime does put a lot of onus on the applying firm to have done their own due diligence and for themselves to be comfortable. And that could be the case even where the individual is, let's say, a risk expert, but not necessarily from an investment management firm, if they're from another financial services type firm. So in terms of broadening the pool then, are there other strategies that firms are using? Are there other ways that they're looking to recruit? Are they're maybe offering a bit more flexibility about?
Yeah, definitely. I think they do. Like if the role is AML or it's financial crime, then we are seeing clients open up to looking at people from a banking or an insurance background. You know, even if it's investment risk, you know, within a fund management firm, I think absolutely somebody doing market risk within a retail bank, you know, fair enough, the products are different, you know, the environment is very different, but the skill set is there, you know, and depending on the level, I think that's a very, you know, it's a very feasible avenue, if you like. So there are, even within the kind of, you know, the full-time market, people who are out there in financial services, there are a lot of considerations and there are a lot of options there. Definitely the part-time, the flexibility, looking at people returning to the workforce that are looking for 3 or 4 day weeks. It's not, when you say it to a client, initially the reaction is, no, this is a full-time job. And you have to go, okay, it's a full-time job, but for somebody who on paper is overqualified for it, could they do it on a 3 or 4 day week? The answer is probably yes. And it is the most untapped pool of talent currently in Dublin are people, maybe they've raised kids, maybe they've been off looking after somebody who's long-term sick and they want to get back into the market. Again, something that's not perfect, somebody who's had a gap, it's always a little bit like, okay, a little bit of hesitancy there. But I genuinely believe it's an unbelievable pool of talent that we're just not thinking about correctly, or, you know, allowing ourselves to laterally kind of go, why wouldn't that fit? Why couldn't we look at that?
So a bit of lateral thinking, a bit of creative thinking, you can find candidates for roles that are maybe...
Because I think the biggest thing, okay, so once you've recruited the person, what's your next challenge? Your next challenge is keeping them from all the others that are coming in behind you. And, you know, what can they... So I think as a firm, you know, okay, yeah, it is a challenge to get them, but the next big, big challenge is keeping them. And you don't want them walking out in 12 months or 18 months and going to a direct competitor and you've done all the hard work, or, you know what I mean? They've learned the ropes in under you and now they've gone to somebody else. So the retention piece is, as you've got it, the 18 months out. Okay, you've got them now. Okay, that was a challenge and it is a challenge. But then it's the retention piece.
And so what are the things that firms can do to firstly distinguish themselves to get that recruitment process through and then to retain? Is it around paycheck? Is it around culture, flexibility?
Pay is one thing, definitely, but it's not the most important thing. There's a threshold. If somebody feels they're getting paid, you know, a market value salary for what their skill set is and their experience, then they're happy. You know, there might be margins there, $5,000 or whatever it might be. If there's good bonuses, which there normally is now, back with the fund management companies in particular, it's normally pretty decent, good pension. But outside of that, it's flexibility. So this is not people, you know, people might give millennials a bad name and go, oh, geez, they're all looking to work, you know, feck all, you know. But it's actually people in their late 30s, 40s, kids, maybe elderly parents, just stuff going on in their life where they just need a little bit of flexibility to kind of go, I'm not going to get an eye roll if I get up and I need to leave the office a little bit earlier. I don't want to have to put in formal approval for this. I just need there to be a culture of understanding whereby I'm an adult, I will get my job done and nobody's clock watching. And that is hugely valuable to an employee. And if somebody has it currently, they will not leave a job where they currently have that arrangement to go to something that is stricter than that and more old school. Absolutely not.
Very interesting. And then a bit of an unfair question, but we want to ask anyway. If somebody arrived into you today and you went through the process of discussing what kind of candidate you want and come up with a reasonable proposal, ballpark, how long does it take then to actually get a body in the door? Is it a 6-month process? Is it a 12-month process? Is it a 3-month process?
It's probably... depends on the levels. So if you're looking for somebody like a PCF role, they're probably, that person where they are currently is probably on a minimum of a 2-month notice period, realistically 3 months. And you're probably talking about a 2-month process to find them. And that's the client engaging with us and moving on CVs. Mm. Because weeks pass very, very quickly. And there's normally 2 stages, if not 3 stages. They might need to fly them to London, you know what I mean? If that's where the head office is and they need to meet important people or whatever, you know, that they're involved in the decision. So it's probably 5 months till you have them sitting in a seat, best case.
Right. So if we wrap it up and just summarise, you're probably about a sort of 5-month process for somebody senior. It could be even a little bit longer. You need to engage with the recruitment firm to map out very well what exactly you need.
Yeah.
Get some insight into...
And do that early. Do that at the beginning. Do that before you draft a job description. come with the bones of what you need and then develop it.
And then work from there.
Yeah.
But overall, the market is a little bit better this year than last year. And so no need to completely fall apart at the idea of having to engage in recruitment process
no.
at this stage.
I actually think it's as I said at the beginning, it's a healthier in market, labour market. And I think people, there's more breathing space. People have more time to consider. They're not getting six job specs a week. You know what I mean? It just is a little bit more normalised. And I think in that market, everybody makes better decisions.
Well, on that positive note, let's wrap up the podcast there.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
I really appreciate your insights. Thank you for listening. And keep a listen out for the next episode in the special series in the run-up to the launch of First 18, From Survive to Thrive. Thank you very much.
Quest Academy demystifies funds regulation and jargon, helping you march up the learning curve. If you want to see how good we are at what we do, apply for free in-person 45-minute masterclass. Check out Quest.ie for more details.
The Quest Podcast, Funds Industry Conversations.